Good Friday. It is the day of the year when we stop and then stand or sit or kneel before the heart of the gospel that is being manifested on the first Good Friday. On that Friday afternoon when Jesus of Nazareth, the most gracious and beautiful human being who ever lived, was unjustly condemned to die on a Roman cross. On that Friday, when in the mystery of grace, the world was saved by Jesus handing himself over to the public shame and brutality and horrific suffering of crucifixion. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. This is now the second Good Friday the church around the world has had to celebrate under the cloud of the pandemic. Thanks be to God, it appears that that cloud is being lifted. Although the fact that it still hovers helps us be sensitive to the fact that in other parts of the world, for other reasons, believers have not been able to gather in person. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. As I have been preparing to remember and worship this Good Friday, I've been taking the time to listen to the voices of that day. Probably because we are surrounded by so many voices in our time, and for the sake of soul sanity, I have needed to choose which voice to listen to and which voices to ignore. On the first Good Friday, the atmosphere resounded with voices. I hear the voice of the religious rulers. You've heard the blasphemy. He must be punished. He must die. I hear the voices of the so-called witnesses accusing Jesus of inciting rebellion against Rome. I hear them accuse Jesus of wanting to destroy the temple. I hear the voice of the Roman governor Pilate declaring, "I find no guilt in him." In Jesus, "I find no guilt in him," again and again in the face of this angry mob of religious leaders. I hear Pilate, according to the custom of the day, that a prisoner be released on Passover. "Do you want me to release this Jesus, this King of the Jews?" And I hear the mob cry out, "Not this man, but Barabbas." Barabbas, a robber, a murderer, who did incite insurrection. "Release him, not Jesus." And I hear Pilate standing next to Jesus to say within the sound of his voice, "Behold the man." And then to the religious leaders, "Behold your king." And I hear that fateful declaration out of the mouth of the chief priest, we have no king but Caesar. And I want to cry out, "What? What did you just say? We have no king but Caesar? What about Yahweh? Is he not your king?" I hear the voice of women weeping. I hear the voice of the soldiers holding Jesus in prison, having put a crown of thorns on his head and arraying him in a purple robe, mocking him. "Hail, King of the Jews." I hear the soldiers who are guarding those who are being crucified, jeering, "If you are the King of the Jews, then come down from the cross." I hear the soldiers, the rulers, jeering at Jesus. "He saved others. Let him save himself if he is the Christ of God, the chosen one." I hear one of the criminals being crucified next to Jesus, asking him, pleading with him, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." All kinds of voices speaking, "Blasphemy, crucify him. Hail, King of the Jews, save yourself." And I hear that singular voice, Father, the voice of Jesus calling out, Father. One of the writers of the Good Friday story, Luke the physician, says that Jesus cries out in a loud voice. Luke does not say that of any of the speakers that day. A loud voice. Jesus cried out in a loud voice, the implication being louder than all those other voices that day. And the implication being, this is the one voice to which we are to listen on Good Friday. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. According to Luke, the first public word Jesus spoke at the age of 12 in the temple in Jerusalem was Father. Did you not know I needed to be about my Father's business? And according to Luke, the last public word Jesus spoke outside of Jerusalem on the cross was Father. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. It is very likely that Jesus is echoing a text from the prayer book of Israel, that he's echoing a text from the Psalms. We know that from the time he was a young boy, Jesus prayed the Psalms week after week as he worshiped in the synagogue, day after day in his daily devotions. In the manner of the spiritually eager women and men of his day who prayed the Psalms. The Psalms then becoming deeply rooted in Jesus' mind and heart and soul. Someone has observed that when it comes time for us to die, we will pray the thoughts and words that have been deeply ingrained in us because of habit. So as Jesus comes to that moment to die, he prays what his heart has been trained to pray. He prays the Psalms. My God, why have you forsaken me? He is echoing Psalm 22. I thirst. He's echoing Psalm 69. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. He's echoing Psalm 31. It goes like this. In you, O Lord, O Yahweh, I have taken refuge. Let me never be ashamed. In your righteousness, deliver me. Incline your ear to me. Rescue me quickly. Be to me a rock of habitation, a stronghold to save me. For you are my rock and my fortress. For your name's sake, you will lead me and guide me. You will pull me out of the net which they have secretly laid for me. For you are my strength. Into your hands I commit my spirit. The psalm goes on in that vein until we come to the line upon which many believers have hung. In your hands are my times. My times are in your hands. As the midday light turns to frightening darkness, as in agony Jesus' arms are stretched on the wood, he prays the whole psalm. But he adds a critical word, the word Father. Not just into your hands I commit my spirit, but Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. According to all four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, that one word Father is the key to Jesus' identity. The Son of the Virgin Mary is self-consciously the Son of God the Father. The Son of the Virgin Mary knows himself to come from the Father, literally to come out of the Father from where he has lived for all eternity. He knows himself to live and move and have his being in the Father. And according to all four Gospels, Jesus loves the Father. Jesus trusts the Father. Jesus knows that as he has come from the Father, so he is to return to the Father. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Although, as far as we know, He only speaks those words out loud on the cross. I think that he spoke them throughout his life. Into your hands is the prayer that Jesus prayed all of his life. It would be a wrong reading of the Good Friday story to suggest that only when the sun is darkened at midday, only when he suffers the horror of crucifixion, that he then prays Psalm 31. Psalm 31 has been the cry of his life all along. He lives his days and weeks and years and decades. Into your hands I commit my spirit. At every turn, in every circumstance, at every moment, the cry of his heart is, Father, my times are in your hands. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. As he told the first disciples again and again, I only say what I hear my Father say. I only do what I see my Father do. Jesus travels through Galilee, announcing the inbreaking of the kingdom of God in his Father's hands. Jesus passes through Samaria, jumping over all kinds of racial and gender walls in the Father's hands. He heals the sick in the Father's hands. He casts out the demonic forces in the Father's hands. He welcomes tax collectors and sinners and eats with them in the Father's hands. He goes to Jerusalem each of the times he does in the Father's hands. On Palm Sunday, the Sunday before Good Friday, as he enters the city to the shouts of Hosanna, Jesus says, Now my soul has become troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, for this hour I have come. Father, glorify your name. It turns out Jesus is driven by no other agenda or force. Yes, he's deeply moved with compassion by all the needs around him, but the needs are not what drives him. Yes, he's arrested, hauled off to jail, unjustly convicted, lifted up on the cross by human hands, intent on evil. But that's not what drives him. He reaches out and touches needs in the Father's hands. He goes forth to those who arrest him in the Father's hands. He is lifted up on the cross in the Father's hands. Sin and evil and death and judgment are all at work that Good Friday. And Jesus is keenly aware of that. He knows that he who knew no sin has become sin. He knows that he is entering into mortal combat with evil. He knows that he is now facing the full onslaught of death. He knows he's taking upon himself the righteous judgment for the sin of the world, that he's taking our place and absorbing the wrath that we deserve. But he also, and more importantly, knows that this is the Father's will for him. This is why he came from earth to heaven. This is his earthly destiny, which he embraced 3 years before in his baptism at the Jordan River. Indeed, this is his destiny he embraced long, long ago in the halls of eternity when he and the Father planned the creation of human beings, running the risk that we would rebel and cause evil and death to enter our world, necessitating this great rescue plan. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. No one is taking his life from him, not sin, not evil, not death. He is laying down his life. Father, not my will, but your will be done. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Now, in Luke's mind, Jesus of Nazareth is not only the eternal Son of the Father, he is also the second Adam, the new human. He, the only begotten Son of the Father, comes to live human life the way human life was intended to be lived. And that truly human way to live the human life is the way of intimacy with God, resulted from trusting and surrendering to God. In Jesus, the second Adam, we discover that we are truly human to the degree that we live in dependence upon Jesus, Father. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Which means his prayer is our prayer. More accurately, his prayer can now be our prayer. For because of his death on the cross, we too can now live in his Father's hands. And we can live that prayer. We can live in such a posture because the veil in the temple has been torn in two. That separation between us unholy sons and daughters and the holy God has been removed. The barrier is gone. We have been welcomed home, and we are free now to live the truly human life. In the last moments of my life, when I breathe my last, I want to pray the way Jesus prayed. And I will pray his way if I live his way. If I live in the posture he lives. If I live his rhythms of grace, as Ken calls them. Waking up each new day and saying, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Going through all my activities, all my tasks, all my interactions with others, and whispering, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. And then falling asleep at night, saying, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. There were many voices that Good Friday. But the loudest one, the one to which we are to attend every day, is the voice of the one who is giving his life for the life of the world. Father, into your hands,